Stickers, Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Happy Monday. Lots of major newsmakers on the Sunday talk shows yesterday. Lieberman has joined the Bush crime family's World War III bandwagon. And Colin Powell is so fed up with Bush, he might switch political parties altogether. It just never stops. Does it going to have that sound? Plus, what too stupid to ride a bicycle had to say about his Il Tejano while at a Bulgarian press conference today. How's that for a show for you, huh? Tomorrow night, author and journalist and general all-around hellraiser Greg Palast will be on the program tomorrow night. So lots of things shaking and cracking. Oh, by the way, a little bit of business here. There were some features added to the Nova M Radio website over the weekend. Now not only can the founders log in to this live chat that Billy set up, you can speak your mind. There's a new Nova M Radio message board. And this is not to replace the Malloy message board. It's another place for founders to go and have, the typical sparkling and informative conversations that Nova M listeners typically have. So if you all this is available if you're a founder. Just go to NovaMradio.com and type in your username and password, and go to the chat room or wherever you like to go. Another feature is the Founders Club members' ability to comment on the host blogs, but that's available too. I don't think I've written a blog. We have a newsletter. I wrote something for a newsletter, but that's right. You write that little daily blog that Kathy writes. Yeah, Kathy usually writes it. And you can comment on it. Sometimes I write it. So all of that's available at the website. As far as the newsletter, I don't know about the newsletter because Billy hasn't answered my latest email, so I'm sure it'll turn up somewhere. Huh? Okay. All right, let's get to the cultural stuff to begin with. You know, the country's going to hell, but we can pause for a second and talk about The Sopranos, or I can. Thank God it ended the way it ended last night. I understand there's an awful lot of bitching and whining and complaining, which really creeps me out around the Internet. ABC News tonight. Yeah, I'm like a junkie. I will still tune in Charles Gibson and see what they're going to be talking about while I'm doing the pre-show prep for this program. I have it on in the background. So when Gibson teased the fact that they were going to have something about The Sopranos the way it ended last night, how everybody's pissed off on the Internet, I thought, okay, let's see this. Well, they had one young woman on camera who said, "Ow, I hate it. I feel like I've given 9 years of my life for nothing." And she was sincere. And people like that, don't you just want to reach through the television and grab them around their scrawny little necks and say, "You better get a life. You better get a life." Oh, my God. Anyway, I thought the ending was perfect. I thought it was perfect, absolutely perfect, in keeping with the whole mystique of the program. Just everything about it. I thought it was great. So, I was real pleased to see how it ended. And I thought it was typical of David Chase. Chase is, he put together the most popular or the most intriguing or the most well-done program, I think, in television history. And that's really saying something. And I realize HBO is not television. They don't have the restrictions on sex, violence, cuss words, murder, mayhem. Can you imagine ABC showing Phil getting his head crushed by... Oh, why am I laughing? That was... That was a real stomach wrencher. It really was. But anyway, to make a long story short, I'm very sad today because the Sopranos series is over, and I'm ashamed to admit that. Okay, go ahead, Malloy, get a life. I understand. I don't know where in the hell I'm going to be Sunday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern time now, and I realize there was one point what they had a 21-month hiatus or something, but still. And there was something about The Sopranos, even though it was set in the present, there was something about The Sopranos that reminded me of my childhood. Not that I grew up in familia like that, because I did not. There was just something about it, though, that reminded me of when I was a kid. Maybe it was the attitude of so many of these Italians. Their attitude just kind of struck me. Their way of living was very 50-ish, very much like from the 50s, you know, which is where I spent, you know, a huge chunk of my youth. But anyway, I thought the ending was perfect. It couldn't have been better. I think anyone who thought, as I was afraid, that David Chase would kill off Tony Soprano either wasn't paying attention for the past 9 years or, you know, temporarily lost it. You know, David Chase turned Tony Soprano into probably the most notable anti-hero in television history. And I can't think of anyone who comes close. So, no, he's not going to kill him off. Now, I heard some psychologist, wouldn't you know, on ABC News tonight also, who said, well, you know, that abrupt go-to-black ending at the end there, just the sound and you know, audio and visual went utterly dead at that one particular point. The psychologist says to me, that means that Tony and his whole family got whacked. And I just, you know, come on. Jesus, come on. So I thought it was well done. I wish that's the only thing that I had to talk about. You know? I sometimes wish I lived someplace where I could do a radio program where I could talk about stuff like The Sopranos, you know, where, of course, that would be impossible, wouldn't it? You know, where there was no bigotry and poverty was something most of us dimly remembered and there was no war. And the Bush administration got kind of smack upside its corrupt, filthy head today, figuratively speaking, in a 2-1 decision, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond found that the Federal Military Commissions Act doesn't strip people of their constitutional rights of habeas corpus. No matter what this thug, this bastard Gonzalez and Cheney and the rest of these killers say. The court, certain elements of the court are still acting independently and are still trying to uphold the Constitution. This guy, what's his name? Ali Al-Mari. He's been held without charge since June 2003. Where are we now? June 2007. 4 years. He was detained. He was held in solitary confinement in the Navy brig in Charleston, South Carolina since 2003. He's been detained since his arrest December 2001, where he was arrested at his home in Peoria, Illinois. Now, he had moved there with his wife and 5 children a day before the September 11th attacks on the country to study for a master's degree. And they busted him in December 2001. So almost six years, this guy's been held, 4 years in solitary confinement. Kind of like a Padilla, whose attorneys now say he's been driven mad by these people. The court said to sanction such presidential authority, to order the military to seize and indefinitely detain civilians, even if the president calls them so-called enemy combatants, would have disastrous consequences for the Constitution and the country. Well, yeah, sure, the court knows this, and I know it, and you know it, and anyone with the least bit of respect for the Constitution knows it. Now, tell me again why Bush can't be impeached. Tell me again. Somebody, please. On the other hand, never mind. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
Corporate rock, huh? I know you real musicians out there hate that, but what was the significance of that? Playing at the end, huh? I'm sorry. There I go again. Never mind. I got to talk about the Bush crime family. Instead of this fascinating made-up crime family, we have to talk about this banal, murderous, real crime family, right? The other night, I did something about what the Bush administration has given us, I think. But it was a long list of stuff. And Bill of Rights Man posted this at Fire Dog Lake a while ago. It's entitled What's Left of the Republican Party. It's a similar rant. But listen to this. This is really cool. I like this. Here's the question. What remains of the Republican Party? Here's the answer. Clear Channel, the 700 Club, Fox, the Hoover Institute, American Enterprise Institute, the Federalist Society, Focused on the Family, Liberty Law School, the Board of Directors at GE, Disney, Boeing, Racist, the Drudge Report, National Right to Work, Cato Institute, the Board of Directors at Chase, Citi, and MBNA, the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, the Club for Growth, the Heritage Foundation, the Wall Street Journal, Free Republic, the New York Post, the Board of Directors at Exxon, Shell, and BP, the Westboro Baptist Church, the National Right to Life Committee, Log Cabin Republicans, Skinheads, the Board of Directors at Halliburton, Blackwater, CACI, the NRA, Americans for Tax Reform, G8, the National Review, Little Green Footballs, the Weekly Standard, the Mormons, the Washington Times, Swift Boat, Veterans for Truth, Project for a New American Century, the FCC, Air Force Academy, Regents Law School, WorldNet Daily, and the Top 1%. That's from Bill of Rights Man. Don't ask me for a copy of it. If you want it, go find it. I sound sort of bitchy tonight, don't I? Huh? Nothing sexist about that term. You know what I mean.
So what are you going to do next Sunday night at 9 p.m.? Are you going to pop a big bowl of popcorn and sit down in front of the television and go,
I have no idea. I'm lost. I'm lost. You're my wife. You're supposed to figure something out.
Would you like to take up whittling?
I don't know. I just, it you know, even though it was only like in a standard season with The Sopranos, it was what, nine episodes? And, you know, then they would disappear for a year and a half. But still, it was so big. It filled whatever television desire I have for drama on television, which for the past 30 years has been zero. Availability, anything to fill that lust for drama on television. For me, it just nothing was there. The Sopranos filled it. So, you know, now what? Now I guess it's just, all right, TV is now dead.
You never watched any of those great shows in the 80s, that like Hill Street Blues or
I really did.
Northern Exposure?
No, I really didn't. I don't know what the hell I was doing in the 80s. It's just kind of a blur, but no.
Well, that answers it.
No. I know a lot of people did. I know there was some good stuff in the 80s, but it was... since it was commercial television, it was all chopped up with advertising, and at the right moment where the tension is building, you know, they would go to commercials. That was another thing about The Sopranos. You could ebb and flow with the tension that the writers or David Chase put into it, and not being interrupted by some halfwit trying to sell you wrinkle cream or something. So we don't have any wrinkle cream sponsors, do we? God, I hope not.
I think we only have weight loss sponsors and miracle cellulite reducers.
Well, no, we also have people who want to get everyone out of debt. Right?
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. And I know nobody liked Journey. Everybody thought Journey was just corporate rock, the worst kind. It was sort of like when Jefferson Airplane became Jefferson Starship and you know, went to, we built this city on rock and roll and...
You like that song, though.
I liked it because it was, I liked the meter or the kick. I don't know what it was. I don't have any problem with corporate rock because I know what it is. But what am I talking about? Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm just going on and on here. We got a no-confidence vote on Gonzalez. It failed in the Senate. They couldn't even get 60 votes to close off debate, so... we'll get into that when we come back. We also have Bush and some sound on Bush, some sound on Lieberman, and some sound from Colin Powell, who all of a sudden has decided that the bad guys live in the White House. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die.
Governments don't love. Governments can dispense law and justice, but not love.
Oh, God.
Softly.
Yeah.
So
all right, Kathy. All right. I'm sure at some point tonight you're going to have Starship on, too, with... Oh, God. Okay!
I want to go back to my prom.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah, this is your music, not mine. I just happened to be on a planet when this stuff came out. Air Supply, I'm all out of love. I can't live without you.
I wonder what happened to my prom date.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
I still have parachute pants somewhere. I know I do. I know I do.
The Senate Democrats fell short this afternoon in their effort to hold a vote of no confidence in Alberto R. Gonzalez, Attorney General, but still registered a strong, if symbolic, rebuke of the nation's chief law enforcement officer. That's the lead in the New York Times report on this. This is astonishing, isn't it? Who was it that said if the vote would have been held in secret, it would have been unanimous, 100 senators or however many were there, I think there were 91 present, would have voted to remove this rat bastard. But the Senate voted 53-38 to end debate and allow a vote on the no-confidence motion, which means since 60 votes were required to shut off the debate, you know, what the Democrats would never do when they were in the minority, supporters of the motion were lacking the 7 votes. So... the outcome leaves everybody who realizes that Gonzalez is a Nazi, just an absolute Nazi who is destroying the Justice Department. Everyone who understands that is now uncertain about what to do next in trying to get this incubus the succubus out of the Attorney General's office. This is horrible. Congress can't remove a cabinet member except by impeachment. So even if the no confidence motion would have gone through, it was non-binding. But it was, and you know, nothing. It just seems like everything the Democratic Party leadership does has the caveat attached to it. Well, this is non-binding, and that can't even get through. Now, no, I'm not busting up on Democrats tonight. I understand the way the rules in the Senate work. You're kind of screwed when it's this close. But the thing that's intriguing to me is when it was nearly this close, and this Republican swine. We're in charge. These Republican swine were in charge. You know, the Democrats so many times just rolled over and gave up. You know, our concerns, two Supreme Court appointees and God knows how many federal appeals court appointees, all of them Nazi rat bastards that the Democrats refused to resist. So the Gonzales Justice Department, corrupted, ruined, stinking to high heaven, rotten to the core, continues. It'll just continue. It'll just continue. And do I have some? Do we have something on what Bush had to say about his Tejano? First of all, Orrin Hatch, Republican Nazi of Utah, derided the resolution as, in his words, a misguided and inappropriate assault on the separation of powers. How can Orrin Hatch, who is sitting there watching the Bush crime family totally annihilate the separation of powers, and this smarmy bastard has the audacity to make that kind of a statement about this resolution? And it doesn't matter how the vote broke down. There were four or five Republicans who voted with the Democrats or something. I don't even know, and frankly, I don't care. The fact that we have a political system, and I said this last week, and I stand by it. Monday, you know, I'm all sober. You know, by the end of the week, doing this program, I'm just drunk on misery. And I know at some point last week I said, you know, the system's broken. Totally. This system that the founders, the framers, whatever you want to call them, handed off to us 200 years ago, it is not working. It's gone. And it's thoroughly, it's not that it's not working. It's been destroyed. It's never going to work again. All we're going to have is a ghost of what they gave us and told us 200 some odd years ago. Imperfect document here. See if you can improve it. What do we do? Well, it only took 150 years to give women the right to vote. Only took nearly 200 to give black folk the right to vote without being harassed by white animals in the South and the North, you know. So it took time to work things out, to overcome the insults and the prejudices and the bigotries that were built into that, those original documents. But I think the framers were of their time. They said, here it is, do with it as you will. And a couple warned, I think Ben Franklin was the big Cassandra about all that, and warned what was going to happen. You know, you can't do it, he said. He screamed down the corridors of the future. You know, he screamed. You can hear it now. You can hear it now every time you look at Gonzales, every time you look at Bush, every time you look at the Supreme Court, every time you look at the dual party system and the leadership of those two parties. I, and you can too, if you listen, you can hear Franklin screaming from the past down the corridors of the future, you're not going to be able to handle it. I know you're not. You're not. You won't be able to handle it. So here we are. And even Jefferson, way back then, Jefferson warned about the corporations. Lincoln warned about the corporations. Eisenhower warned about a certain type of corporation. And look what they've done. So here we are. So here we are. It's broken. It's dead. It's dead. Now, Bush had something to say about his little Tejano and the vote today. In crazy Bush world, Raisin Brain wrapped up his whirlwind Cold War kickoff tour in Europe. And today he stopped in Bulgaria before he winged his way home, took some questions from the press. This reporter wanted to know about his unnatural and delusional support of Abu Gonzalez. The reporter said, Mr. President, you say the no-confidence vote this week has no bearing, as to whether Gonzalez remains as Attorney General. But, sir, Mr. President, Mr. Rockstar here in Albania, or Bulgaria, where are we? It doesn't matter, does it, Mr. President? How can he continue to be effective? And it seems like you're not listening to Congress when it comes to Gonzalez, but you are listening to Congress when it comes to Peter Pace?
This process has been drug out a long time, which says to me it's political.
Drug out?
There's no wrongdoing.
No,
therefore, I ascribe this lengthy series of news stories and hearings is political.
Yeah.
And I'll make the determinations if I think he's effective or not. Not those who are using an opportunity to make a political statement on a meaningless resolution.
You arrogant thug. You arrogant thug. There's no wrongdoing. Ask the inmates at Abu Ghraib about that. Ask Ashcroft about that. Ask the citizens of the United States, those of us in the vast majority who want this rat bastard out, Mr. President, if we feel there's been no wrongdoing with a man who carried out the improper firings of 9 U.S. attorneys, pushed through pro-torture resolutions, absolutely gutted habeas corpus, and instituted and allowed illegal spying of Americans. What do you mean there's no wrongdoing? Therefore, I ascribe this lengthy series of news stories and hearings as political. Do you know why there are news stories, chuckle nuts, you ignorant fool? Because there has been wrongdoing. I'll make the determination. I'm the decider. I'll decide. God. And Lieberman. The people in Connecticut, why do you allow this mad dog to continue as a senator? He wants nuclear war. He's the first U.S. politician that one would think had some kind of sense, although it's clear he does not now, to call publicly for Americans to bomb Iran. And if he gets his wish, this draft-dodging thug and his spawn will not be the ones going to die. It'll be our kids. Well, not mine. He says, if Iran won't play by the rules, quote, we've got to use our force, end quote. Won't play by the rules? We are playing by the rules? What is Lieberman? What is he mad? Of course he's insane. He's absolutely insane. Play by the rules. Is that how we invaded Iraq? By the rules? Oh, God. We'll be right back.
Life got to be two little boys.
B-E-B, breakdance.
All right, no, stop, please stop. Back to Holy Joe Lieberman, who is advocating World War III. He keeps talking about murdering the Iranian people. I don't know what's happened. Joe Lieberman, who considers himself to be almost an Old Testament prophet. And he's an incipient mass killer. He is exactly cut from the same mold as Bush. Listen to this. He was on Face the Nation on Sunday. He just got back from his trip to Iraq and Israel, and he's now ready to start World War III by striking Iran. Makes you wonder whose military is planning to use. Ours not available. Israel's maybe. Shouldn't we end one disastrous, bloody, illegal Mideast massacre before we start another one? Shouldn't we, Holy Joe? Here's Bob Schieffer.
Well, let me just ask you about Iran. You brought up Iran. What should we do? Because we continue to hear more and more of just what you're saying. What should the United States do at this point about Iran?
It's very important, Bob, because I didn't just go to Iraq. I went visited throughout the Arab world and Israel. And what you see throughout the Middle East is Iran in battle, basically with us and the moderates, supplying the extremists in Iraq, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas fighting the Fatah faction, our allies among the Palestinians, and, of course, committing terrorist acts against the Israelis. The Iranians are training and equipping Iraqi extremists to come into Iraq, and they're killing American soldiers and Iraqis. And I think this is a very important moment. If we're going to sit and talk with the Iranians, tell them what we want them to do, which is to stop doing that because it's killing Americans, we can't leave it at that. I think we've got to be prepared to take aggressive military action against the Iranians to stop them from killing Americans in Iraq. And to me, that would include a strike over the border into Iran.
Oh, Jesus, God. I got a better solution for you, Holy Joe. To stop the Americans dying, get them out! Get them out of Iraq! He says what you see throughout the Middle East is Iran in battle basically with us. Okay, get us out! And he talks about how Iran is supplying the Hamas and the Hezbollah. And then why not solve the Israeli-Palestinian issue, Joe? Why not do that? Why not really sit down and settle it? No, you murdering bastard. You want to start World War III, don't you? You and the Christian fundamentalists, you make me sick to my stomach. And his attitude about the people of Iran is just astonishing, astonishing. He says, I think we've got to be prepared to take aggressive military action against the Iranians. Not the government, not Iran, not the leadership, the Iranians. Hey, Joe, they're not Arabs. Does that matter to you? They're not Arabs. They're Persians. Joe, there's a Jewish population in Tehran. There always has been. How do we get stuck with this kind of slime dictating what our country is going to do? Have we got time for the last one? All right. Next, Lieberman contradicts himself on the kind of invasion he wants for Iran to kick off World War III. First, he says he's not talking about a massive ground invasion, you know, a few nukes maybe. Then later he says he'd leave the ground invasion decisions to the general in charge. Another madman. Here's Schieffer.
Well, let's just stop right there, because I think you probably made some news here, Senator Lieberman. You're saying that if the Iranians don't let up, that the United States should take military action.
Okay. I am, and I want to make clear, I'm not talking about a massive ground invasion of Iran, but we have good evidence. We've told them. We've said so publicly that the Iranians have a base in Iran. at which they are training Iraqis who are coming in and killing Americans. By some estimates, they have killed as many as 200 American soldiers. Well, we can tell them we want them to stop that. But if there's any hope of the Iranians living according to the international rule of law and stopping, for instance, their nuclear weapons development, we can't just talk to them. If they don't play by the rules, we've got to use our force. And to me, that would include taking military action to stop them from doing what they're doing.
Would you
now.
Go in on the ground, or could you do that from the air?
I'd leave that to the generals in charge.
But didn't you just say you're not talking about... Oh, never mind. Listen to this madness. Listen to this. I swear to God, it's just astonishing. Lieberman is a danger to this country. He is a danger to this country. And where does he get... He says by some estimates, these Iranian-trained Iraqis have killed as many as 200 American soldiers. What is he talking about? Where does that come from? That's like Saddam Hussein has a nuclear weapons program. We have to go kill him, quick! I don't know. You know, blessed are the peacemakers. That's really funny, isn't it? Isn't that become funny? You know, and another thing about Lieberman, he's one of the biggest opponents in the Senate of violent video games and violent television. Oh, okay, no fake violence on TV, no Sopranos, but let's go bomb those filthy Iranians. Kill them all! Kill them! Kill! 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 Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. One more thing on Lieberman here. When the vote was taken today to end cloture so they could get on to the vote censuring Gonzalez, Joe Lieberman was one of the titular Democrats. I know he calls himself an independent now because the Democratic Party in Connecticut tossed his ass to the curb. But Lieberman voted with the Republicans. He decided to turn a blind eye to the corruption of Gonzalez. So what Lieberman is saying now, and this is a man who should know better, shouldn't he? This is a man who should know better on how many different levels of what arrest and detention without being charged really means to people. Huh? Shouldn't Lieberman understand that clearly? Shouldn't Lieberman have a much better image, a scenario, thread somewhere inside his head about what happened in Germany in the 30s than perhaps you and I do, a more visceral response to arrest and detention by a military organization? Shouldn't Joe Lieberman understand that down to the bottoms of his feet, and yet he votes to allow Gonzalez to continue? Gonzalez, the man who wrote or assisted in writing the bypasses for George W. Bush where it concerned the Geneva Conventions and torture and habeas corpus, which means arrest and detention with no charges ever, military tribunals, and Lieberman votes for that. Lieberman, the most Jewish member of the United States Senate, votes for that? Shame on you, Joe. Shame on you. And it's not just me hollering shame. I'll tell you who else is hollering shame, Joe. 6 million burned in Germany and Poland are screaming shame about your vote to continue to allow these Nazis to operate. Shame on you. Shame on you, Lieberman. I expect some redneck like Trent Lott or Mitch McConnell or the rest of these moronic thugs to continue to give carte blanche to Gonzalez. But Lieberman? Joe? Holy Joe Lieberman? The man who said that if he were elected president, he wouldn't work on Shabbos? This man? This religious faker? Shame on you, Lieberman. Shame on you. My God. What do we have in this government? In all branches of it. And CBS 5, what's today? Today, the 11th? So this is Friday. CBS 5 in Berkeley. San Francisco, Berkeley area. CBS 5. Hank Plant, one of the reporters, had this story. Here's what it says. A Berkeley watchdog organization that tracks military spending said it uncovered a strange U.S. military proposal to create a hormone bomb that could purportedly turn enemy soldiers, sit down, into homosexuals and therefore make them more interested in sex than fighting. Oh, my God! Pentagon officials on Friday confirmed to CBS 5 that military leaders had considered, and then subsequently rejected, building the so-called gay bomb. Turn enemy soldiers into homosexuals because, you know, homosexuals are way more interested in sex than fighting. I didn't know that. And at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas Army Base, military chaplains have been holding Bible classes for U.S. soldiers using study guides that are blatantly, flat out, openly anti-Semitic. Do you know what Bush has done to the military? What Bush and these Nazi Christian fundamentalist generals, like this guy who said Satan was riding over in the clouds in Ethiopia, and the real enemy on the ground were the demons in Iraq, and that Jesus would save us all. This was a 3-star general in a command and control position. The Fort Leavenworth chaplains. Have posted these lesson plans on the internet. Go to truthout.org, and Jason Leopold has it. Fort Leavenworth chaplains accused of anti-Semitic publishing. And there's a link to the lesson plans. The lesson plans are on the internet under a web address that is maintained by the federal government. So the Pentagon endorses anti-Semitism. Why, of course it does! So does the Christian religious right in this country. Doesn't Holy Joe Lieberman understand that if he had his way, the day would come when someone like Bush or Cheney or Gonzalez would put the knife, just slide it right across Lieberman's throat because he's Jewish? Doesn't he understand that? The nonprofit watchdog group, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, that's an organization that seeks to enforce the law about separation between church and state and the military, discovered the documents last week, according to Jason Leopold. The anti-Semitic materials are posted as PDF files at the website, and then he links it here, which is maintained by the U.S. Army's Combined Arms Center at Fort Leavenworth. In one of the study guides, titled Galatians, the materials refer to Jews as Judaizers. J-U-D-A-I-Z-E-R-S. Judaizers. 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 And they claim that the Judaizers are zealous people, much like the zealous Muslims have become today. That's a quote. That's a quote. Here it is from the lesson material. Quote, the Judaizers are zealous people, much like the zealous Muslims. The study guide then goes on to say that anyone who turns from Christianity to Judaism, quote, should be condemned to spiritual death and hell. End quote. Should be condemned to spiritual death and hell. End quote. Hey, Lieberman! Lieberman! Guess what? Remember the case where was it in Pakistan? The guy who was a Muslim and decided he was going to be a Christian, and they put out a religious a directive to murder him? Well, here the Christians are saying the same things about the Jews. The study guide goes on to say the Judaizers attempted to destroy the two foundations of the Christian religion, A, the grace of God, and B, the death of Christ. The study guide goes on to say that Judaism is a religion of bondage and Christianity is a religion of freedom. Ah. Ah. Oh my God. The United States military has been destroyed by Bush, and it's been hijacked into becoming some kind of a frothing, foaming, right-wing a Christian organization at the highest levels. And this is why our people are being thrown into this meat grinder in Iraq, and killing and dying to the tune of where are we now? 3,600 dead Americans? 300, 400, 600,000 dead Iraqis for this? And now what do I hear? That the U.S. is deciding to arm the Sunnis in Iraq on the theory that the Sunnis are going to all of a sudden battle al-Qaeda after all the U.S. soldiers and Marines who have died or had their legs blown off in order to disarm the Sunni death squads, and now the U.S. government is going to arm them? The U.S. government, the U.S. military is going to arm them?
Ships into Bethlehem or jets to race the towns of Timorese. I don't think Jesus would lend money to dictators or drive those SUVs. And I don't think Jesus would ever have dropped a single ounce of napalm.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
One more murder in this town.
21 past the hour. I can't. This is something I can't get my head around in any way, shape, or form. American commanders turning to this strategy that they admit is just, it could come back and bite them on the ass in a way that removes their ass. Arming Sunni Arab groups who have promised, they crossed their fingers, hope to die. They promised to fight the militants linked with al-Qaeda who have been their allies in the past. And we're going for this? According to the New York Times, here's what it says. American commanders say they have successfully tested this strategy in Anbar province west of Baghdad and have held talks with Sunni groups in at least four areas of central and north central Iraq where the insurgency has been strong. In some cases, the American commanders say, the Sunni groups are suspected of involvement in attacks on American troops or having links to those groups. Some of these groups have been provided, usually through Iraqi military units allied with the Americans, arms, ammunition, cash, fuel, and supplies to go kill Americans. Oh, my God. And you know, we, of course, anyone who is following this madness knows that we created Osama bin Laden and the Mujahideen in Afghanistan in the great game as it was played out between the United States and the Soviet Union back in the 70s and 80s, the Russian invasion or the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. When was that, 79? And we gave these 12th century people who were very content to provide the world with heroin and opium and drugs. We gave them shoulder-fired missiles. We gave them landmines. We gave them anti-tank weaponry. We gave them rockets. We gave them and now we're going to do this. After all the American soldiers and Marines who have been blown into red mist by Sunnis, how do you explain that to a soldier somewhere in Middle America right now who has lost, like Max Cleland, two legs and an arm? He's 24 years old. He may live for another 60 years, confined to his wheelchair. He can't play catch with his children. He can't throw them up in the air. He can't do that. He was blown up by a roadside explosive device planted by Sunni insurgents or Sunni death squads. And now he's at home somewhere in central, in middle America, and he hears about this. What does he do? Does he go to the closet and get his rifle and put the barrel in his mouth and pull the trigger? What does he do? How many Americans have to die for this madman in the White House and these religious psychopaths who apparently are now running the U.S. military? I don't know. We are now going to arm Sunni death squads. I realize television is designed to make people forget, but how do we forget what we have heard on the news for the past, certainly the past 8-10 months, that the bombings, the car bombings, the suicide bombings, the death to all these Shia people going about their business, coming out of mosques, going to and fro in the marketplace, and all of a sudden, you know, 80 dead, 70 dead, 100 dead, 40 dead, 30 dead. We've been told over and over and over again that this is the result of Sunni death squads at work, Sunni insurgent groups, and now we are going to arm them. And why are we going to do that? Because they have promised, cross their fingers and hope to die, that they will now turn on their former allies. And they promised that. Oh yeah, we'll help you go kill the Al-Qaeda people that you're so obsessing about. So this is what we're, here's our list of the weaponry and explosives and cash and electronic equipment and bombs we're going to need. Just fill up our sacks and return them to us. Okay?
Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain.
The kids were coming out of the school system that were who were illiterate. And it wasn't right.
And I'm feeling the strain.
Yeah, and that Gonzalez thing, they drugged that around for a long time, didn't they, there, idiot boy?
Oh,
25 before the hour, Scott in Oakland, California, points out that arming the Sunnis, isn't that our enemy? Isn't that an act of treason? Scott writes, yet another example of provable treason by the Bush crime family. Are you listening, Madam Speaker? Oh, my God. And Lou in Arkansas, regarding Fort Leavenworth and the Christian fundamentalism and anti-Semitism that they're teaching to the soldiers there, Mike, if you recall, Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols both got their training and right-wing indoctrination at Fort Leavenworth prior to bombing the federal building in Oklahoma City, murdering 23 babies in the process. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. Colin Powell. Let me do this Colin Powell thing, Kathy, if you don't mind, and then we're going to go to the phone calls. I think that's all the sound that we have put together, or you have put together tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Am I missing anything? That's it. All right, well, Powell was on Meet the Press on Sunday, NBC's Meet the Press, and he strongly condemned the U.S. prison at Guantanamo, calling it a major problem for America's perception. You know, I don't know. Did he say it's a major problem for human rights? Did he say it's a major problem because it shreds and destroys the Constitution? Did he say it's a major problem because it turns us into something no better than the Soviet masters who set up the gulags or the Nazi thugs who set up their death camps? No, I don't think so. He says it was a major problem for America's perception. I don't know. I didn't see the interview. Maybe he said, all right, how much has Bush alienated his fellow neocons, if that's how you want to consider Colin Powell? He was one of the architects or one of the cheerleaders for this filthy occupation and invasion. Here's one of his top cabinet members. Considering switching political parties altogether, maybe, huh? Of course, there's no real guarantee that Colin Powell was ever a Democrat to begin with, or a Republican to begin with. Sometimes, you know, you go where the action is, if you want a piece of the action. Here's Tim Russert.
Before you go, Newsweek magazine reports that Senator Barack Obama has sought you out for your advice on foreign policy. True?
True. I met with Senator Obama twice. I've been around this town a long time, and I know everybody who is running for office. And I make myself available to talk about foreign policy matters and military matters with whoever wishes to chat with me.
Would you ever come back in the government?
I would not rule it out. I am not at all interested in political life, if you mean elected political life. That is unchanged, but I always keep my eyes open and my ears open to requests for service.
Any endorsements?
Oh, not yet. It's too early.
But you'll support the Republican?
It's too early.
Would you support an independent?
I'm going to support the best person that I can find who will lead this country for the 8 years beginning in January 2009.
Of any party?
The best person I can find.
Yeah, right. Okay. Who will lead this country for the 8 years? What do you know something we don't know, General? What do you know? Your Excellency, what do you know that we don't know? The next person elected will be there for 8 years? Really? So, Paul says that Guantanamo is a major problem for America's perception. He also called for an end to the military commission system that Bush and his thugs has created to try these detainees. He said, quote, I would simply move them to the United States and put them into our federal legal system. End quote. He kind of scoffed at criticism that the detainees would have access to lawyers and the writ of habeas corpus. He said, quote, so what? Let them. Isn't that what our system's all about? End quote. Here's the longer quote. He says, Guantanamo, this was with, I believe this was with Tim Russert, yeah. He says, Guantanamo has become a major problem for America's perception, as it's seen, the way the world perceives America. And if it was up to me, I would close Guantanamo. Not tomorrow, this afternoon I'd close it. And I'd not let any of those people go. I would simply move them to the United States and put them into our federal legal system. The concern was, well, then they'll have access to lawyers. They'll have access to writs of habeas corpus. So what? Let them. Isn't that what our system's all about? And by the way, America, unfortunately, has too many people in jail, all of whom had lawyers and access to writs of habeas corpus. And so we can handle the bad people in our system. And so I would get rid of Guantanamo. And I'd get rid of the military commission system and use established procedures in federal law or in the manual for courts martial. I would do that because it's more equitable and it's more understandable in constitutional terms. But I'd also do it because every morning I pick up the paper and some authoritarian figure, some person somewhere, is using Guantanamo to hide their own misdeeds. So essentially, we have shaken the belief that the world had in America's justice system by keeping a place like Guantanamo open and creating things like the military commission. We don't need it, and it's causing us far more damage than any good we get for it. But remember what I started this discussion saying. Don't let any of them go. Put them in a different system, a system that is experienced, that knows how to handle people like this. Too many qualifiers, General. Sorry. You almost had me, but too many qualifiers. People like this? You can make a statement like that? Now, wait a second. We have Jewish Joe Lieberman endorsing Nazism, and we have partially non-white, let's call him somewhere along the line, African-descended Colin Powell talking about people. That's how we handle people like this. Wait a second, General. I thought black folk hated that expression. You know, when a white man stands there and says, well, you people are all... What do you mean, you people, honky? But there you're saying it, Colin. And Lieberman is saying it. What the hell is going on? Who knows? I think I know what's going on. I think we're through the looking glass. I think maybe the MK Ultra program has been massively effective, and we have people like Lieberman and Colin Powell wandering around making statements that are totally disconnected from their brain processes. Nah, that couldn't be. All right, let's do some phone calls. Okay, you want to do some phone calls? All right, let's start with who's been holding on the longest here. I think John in Sacramento. John in Sacramento. Hey, John, welcome to the program. John?
Yep.
Welcome to the program, John. John?
Well, I believe you. Hey, Mike.
What?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I believe you covered most of the bases with what I originally called the talk about arming the Sunnis and my fear of starting World War III, basically. I believe it's all part of the bamboozlement of the American public that, you know, yeah. Initially we left all of the arms dumps unguarded.
In Iraq, yeah, you're right. We did.
Yeah, and now, just to further the cause, as it were, now we're arming people who have a bent on starting basically civil war.
And also we're arming people who have, and proudly declared they have, murdered American soldiers. I mean, is that not, if you, I'll tell you what, John, if you loaded up with military assault rifles and went over to Iraq with a couple of crates of military assault rifles and started handing them out to Sunnis, you would be arrested before you could say Jack Sprat, and you would be tried for treason, probably put before a firing squad and executed by the United States. But here we are doing it, and this is not an impeachable offense.
And cross my heart and hope to die, I won't supply Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, right. Don't you love that? Oh, no, we're just going to use them here to fight Al-Qaeda, our former allies, because, you know, we don't like their suicide bombings. So we're going
to... We're not trying to draw Iran into it at all, right?
Oh, God.
I mean, it's a bent case of the military-industrial complex, once again, and the dingleberries in the American public are just rising up, and we're not doing anything about it.
Not yet.
We sit idly by when any God-fearing, American flag-waving, loving
patriot would put
a bullet right in this guy's head, right?
I'll tell you what, John, the time is coming, I think. Listen, thanks. I got to leave it there. We got a break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And if they have a masterpiece of literature, a dignity. English books stranded in a black heart.
Get your range on. It's Mike Malloy.
Heavy for the hour. You know, during the breaks, I don't know what y'all hear when you listen to the affiliated radio stations that carry this program or Sirius, but what I hear, and I guess the internet listeners hear it, are various bits and pieces that, and perhaps on KPHX in Phoenix that Ian plays. Ian, if you can hear me, if you would just cue up and play again, if you can, that Ed Asner thing that about what the Bush administration has done. And his advocacy, Asner's advocacy, that House resolution, yada, yada, be voted for. I want people to hear this who may not hear it because they're not listening online. Can you go ahead and play it for me again?
Just a moment, Mike.
Okay. It's astonishing. When you hear this, and Cindy Sheehan did one too, but when you hear this, I'm getting to the point where it's just background noise because I've heard it so many times because during the breaks I keep my headphones on usually and I listen to what Ian is doing back at KPHX. But when you hear this, it just, if you listen to it, it's just astonishing that we haven't removed this man from office.
Okay, here we go, Mike.
Here we go.
This is Ed Asner. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
When you listen to that list of treasonable crimes that this administration has committed, and then you think to yourself, the Democratic Party leadership will not introduce articles of impeachment, and the Republican Party members of Congress would not vote to impeach this criminal anyway. And you wonder why, perhaps you don't, but perhaps you do. You wonder why I said last week that our grand experiment is over, it's finished, put a fork in it, it's done. Representative government in the form that was handed off to us for improvement 230 some years ago is finished. It's been a relatively slow eating away process over the past 35 years, and now it's complete. Lobbyists, who are mouthpieces for corporations, run the country. the constitutional requirement to remove Cheney and Bush from office because of what they've done, it no longer applies. There's no one in the House or the Senate who will force this issue for impeachment. I know Dennis Kucinich is trying and five or six other members, but that's an obscenity itself. That out of 535 elected representatives and senators, we have five or six who are willing to adhere to and follow the Constitution of the United States that demands that Bush and Cheney be tried and removed from office. Well, okay. Fair enough. In the context of everything, yes, I'm being very heavily sarcastic, but fair enough. If that's what the American people, the majority of the American public, has decided is acceptable, just like the American public decides every single day that more dead American soldiers and Marines are acceptable. It's okay. It's all right. Six today, three yesterday, 12 tomorrow, six 2 weeks from now. It's okay. It's all right. Keep shipping the corpses home. And the American public also has decided that X amount of young men and young women with their arms blown off and half their brains blown away and their legs blown off and hands removed and blindness and jaws just blown into smithereens, that's okay too. It's okay. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. That's what we have decided. We have. Because if we hadn't decided that, wouldn't we stop it? Are we little rat bastard whiny cowards? I don't think so. So we accept this. We support this. It's okay. Keep the dead and the maimed coming home. And as far as the Iraqis, who cares? What are we supposed to be? Humanitarian? And as far as our own, it's okay. 3,500 plus American dead, that's okay. That's all right. For what? Oh, it doesn't matter. It's okay. 25,000 wounded? That's okay. Why is it okay? Because it is. Oh, man. All right, back to your phone calls. Julie is calling from Orange County, California. Hey, Julie.
Hey, Mike, long-time listener, love your show.
Well, thank you.
I'm a founding member and first-time caller. A little nervous, pretty upset right now. It's getting real scary out there. I live in Orange County, California, and I was just driving down Beach Boulevard near Knoxbury Farm with a friend in the car and had something, large metal object thrown at my car. And presumably because I have bumper stickers on my car that say impeachbush.org, I have a bunch of them. Bush was planted.
Hey, Julie, can you hold on a minute?
Sure.
You sure? Okay, let me put you on hold, and we'll come back because I'd like to hear the rest of the story, and we have to break here. I'm Mike Molloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's just about 7 past the hour. We were talking with Julie in Orange County, California. Right-wingers apparently threw something at her car. Now, what you were on the freeway?
No, I was on Beach Boulevard near Knott's Berry Farm, and I was in the car with a friend of mine, and somebody threw something at the passenger side of the car and just missed the window by a few inches, and it had to have been a heavy object of some type because it left a big dent in my car, took off some of the paint. And I've got several bumper stickers on my car, one that says impeachbush.org, and I've got war is a threat to our democracy, mm-hmm. Bush lied, people died. I also have a peace sign on my car,
mm-hmm.
And Bush was planted is another one. And I had a feeling this something like this might happen, you know, that my safety might be threatened because Orange County is kind of a Republican.
Oh, yeah.
Type place, but I live here, and there's plenty of Democrats too. But you know, I feel powerless. Like I have no voice. I don't know what to do. And
did you happen to see the car or the driver's? I mean, license
oh,
plate.
Oh no, they're cowards. You know, they sped off, and I couldn't get their license plate or anything. But I'm just telling you, you know, I live in Republican country here, Orange County, California, and Republicans are angry, Mike. They are very angry because they know that their game is, you know, no. not popular.
They're also, every single Republican is a coward, especially these days. They're all cowards. They want someone else to go kill and die and murder and bomb. They have zero convictions. They should be convicted, but they have zero convictions. They're willing to allow someone like Gonzalez to pursue his objective of destroying the U.S. Constitution. I just hate Republicans.
Well, this makes me hate them more because, you know, they're throwing things at my car. I can't even have a bumper sticker on my car. I mean, what is this world, what is our country coming to? You know, I feel like now I have to take the bumper stickers off because, you know, I don't want my passengers to get hurt. And, you know, this is just, I don't know what it's going to take to, like you were talking about earlier, what does it take to get this guy impeached and out of office and all the rest of them? You know, I don't understand what's happened to the American people. I mean, there's lots of people, whoever threw something at my car is in the minority. They really are. But most of this country, they don't want Bush. Even Republicans that I know, that my neighbors, some of them don't like Bush. And so I don't understand, like you're talking about, I mean, we can't even rely on the Democrats to do anything. And I feel just powerless. I don't know what to do.
I guess there's no reason to report it.
No, there's nothing I can do because, you know, I didn't get a license plate or anything like that. But, you know, I'm not even worried. I mean, it cost me damage to my car. It's going to cost me money to fix it. But, you know, I'm not even worried about that. It's like my personal safety.
Sure. So
getting scary out there. I mean, the Republicans, I don't know a Democrat personally that would throw something at a car had a Bush sticker on it. Because I see Bush stickers on people's cars still here in Orange County, and I would never throw something at their car. It makes me mad when I see the sticker, but, you know, they're really angry, vicious people.
They are.
It's unbelievable, and they are cowards. They threw it, and they drove off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it would have went through the window, it would have hurt my friend. It could have hit her in the head. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. And I just don't know if our democracy is over. Like, I'm scared that, you know, when we have our election that, you know, we're not going to have an election in 08. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm very frightened, very, very frightened.
Well, I hear you, Julie. And I share your concerns. I really do. I don't know what to say.
Well, I just want you to I wanted to let you know that when I listen to you every night, I usually listen because I usually work at this time and I listen on the computer after work, so I usually don't get the chance to call in. But it gives me comfort when I listen to somebody else who feels the same way that I do, and that you express your anger and. And it really helps me a lot to listen to your show. So I really appreciate your show, and keep up the good work, please.
Well, thanks, Julie, and be careful.
I will. Hang in there.
All right. Take care, Julie.
You
take
too.
Take care. Yeah, be careful. This is Bush's America. I hate the cowardice. I really do. The Republican Party has become, really it has, it's become nothing but a huge pen in which the cowards all collect. It's kind of like the white supremacists here in the South. Cowards to the last man and women, some of them were women, the clans, clan members, absolute utter cowards. You rip the sheet off one of these bastards and take him out behind the barn one-on-one, and they just wet their pants. And then you just beat the living hell out of them. But together, you know, I'm talking about historically, together, you know, with their burning crosses and their hoods and their stupid K references, then all of a sudden, you see, they're like army ants or a pack of psychopaths. And that's been translated. It's been carried out into the larger Republican community. The Republicans now are owned. The entire party is owned by racists and religious bigots and cowards. The entire party. Back to your phone calls. Dave is, wait a minute, let me see here. Now let's get Bob the Poet from Tennessee. Hey Bob, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. I feel for that lady.
Julie, yeah.
Yeah. You know, in 2005, 2,000 Americans had been killed in Vietnam. And on September 24th, I went to the demonstration in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
500,000 people accompanied me, or I accompanied them.
Right.
And I arrived a day early so that I could go with Cindy Sheehan to the Vietnam Memorial for a candlelight vigil. I had an extraordinary experience there. There were about 300 of us, and there were tourists, there were regular visitors, there were groups that came, and while I stood there, I remember how a mother cried as her grandson tried to comfort her. There was no cure for her loss and pain. While her tears complained to the silent stone, with a massive groan, she crumpled down. Then from the ground raised a trembling hand, to have it land on letters grooved into granite, smoothed and polished bright, as black as night with crystal stars. Then from her scars a wail arose. When her fingers chose from all the names one which remains forever young, a mother's son who never aged. She shrieked and raged and choked and sobbed. She had been robbed of a mother's joy. It named her baby boy destroyed in war. In my deep core, composure broke. My breath came short, my tears welled up, my throat swelled shut, my muscles twitched. I switched my weight from leg to leg and begged myself to stand, but slumped and bumped into the wall behind me. I could not see through cloudy eyes as a mother's cries impaled me.
Well, that's
last week I cried after I heard Cindy Sheehan's letter. I cried for Cindy Sheehan, and I cried for all of us, and I cried because these treasonous
dogs,
people,
yeah,
broke her spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I cried again, and I remembered the candlelight vigil. Mm-hmm. On September 23rd, when she wanted to connect the Vietnam debacle with the Iraq debacle.
Well, I think she did it effectively, and thanks for the poetry, Bob. I appreciate it very much. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
To bring them home from anywhere. I live my life, my love I gave them, to guide them through this world of strife. I hope and pray we'll live together in their great land here. I'm lonesome for my precious children. They live so far
away. Oops. All right. No. That's all right. We're not starting a new hour. Sorry about that. Hit the wrong button here in the control center of the Malloy program. 22 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Dave is calling from San Bernardino, California. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How's it going, bud?
It's going pretty good.
Hey, you know, I wanted to say something right quick and then make a couple extra points, kind of rapid fire. I wanted to say something to that gal, Julie, and you and myself.
Okay.
It's easy. It's easy to become afraid. It's easy to become discouraged, and I become discouraged myself. And sometimes I hear it in your voice, Mike, you actually become discouraged.
Yeah, that's true.
We cannot let up off of these people because they're stealing our country. They're stealing our democracy. They're stealing our lives. They're stealing our money. They're stealing everything from us, Mike.
Okay, so how do you avoid the trap of getting discouraged and depressed and angry and inert? What do you do?
Well, you got to do, deface bumper stickers off my car and stuff. You know what you do? You put twice as many back on. That's what you do. Fight
that's
them fire
true.
With fire.
That's true.
What else can you do?
Carry bigger pieces of metal in your car?
Yeah, a bigger stick.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be like our wonderful... You know, Democrats now in the House of Representatives, you just can't knuckle down.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fight fire with fire, Mike. That's all you can do, or else you're toast. And let me make a couple quick points.
All right, go ahead.
This whole thing about the, backing the Sunnis with weapons and all this and that.
Right.
This is the same thing that Bush 1 and Reagan did. Don't you remember? This is going full
circle. Sure, absolutely.
Don't you remember when Iraq was in a war with Iran and we were giving Saddam Hussein jet fighters, helicopters,
biological weapons, chemical weapons.
Oh, sure. Yeah, everything, anything and everything. We sold him everything that money could buy.
Right.
But then they turned around and was, selling weapons to Iran. Oh, shoot, that's terrible. But they did it. Now they're doing the same thing, Mike.
Yep.
It's full circle. But the point is, if you're going to have the long war, the neocon, they're already talking about 50 years. They're going to be in Iraq for 50 years.
Yeah.
This is the long war. This is not for the short time.
Well, and the only reason they're going to be there is because of the oil and to be as a forward a base to control the rest of the oil in the Caspian Sea area.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to take over the whole world. Of course, this will never work. But in the interim, they're going to take this whole thing is about making money and taking over the world. But they're going to make as much money as they can until the gig is up. The gig is almost up, of course. If these oil sharing agreements don't go through with the parliament in Iraq, we're done. There's no reason to even be there anymore because the Iraqi parliament and the people are not going to let them steal their oil. They're not going to let the Americans steal their oil. Because any parliamentary person that's put in place by the government to vote yes on these agreements will be headed. Their bodies will be floating down the river.
Yeah, well.
These Iraq, the gig is up as far as I can see. They're not going to let this thing fly. They're not going to let the Americans steal their oil. That's all they got.
Well, I hope you're right. I just wish the Iraqi parliament would take a vote about getting the Americans out and see how the Bush crime family would respond to that.
Well, I think the gig is up. I'm hoping.
Well, let's hope.
We're going to find out real quick. We're going to find out in the next 30 days.
Well,
the gig is up or not.
That's true. Dave, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate your insight. Thanks for checking in. We'll talk.
Okay.
Sorry about that. We'll talk again, Dave. All right, break time here. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Negative spin, no less. W's got a mission, W's got a plan, W's got a pistol, it's burning in his hand, it's just turning the world into one big Texas.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
26 before the hour. All right, we've had a couple of technical glitches tonight, but they're not really technical. They're more like, well, you explain it.
Well, you know, there's hardware problems and software problems, yeah. And this one's definitely a software problem. Molly, will you tell everybody what happened a minute ago?
Okay. Tell me that a girl is... Hi, everybody.
Did you get out of bed?
Yes. Down there's a man I see about this, and then I sleep here.
Okay, come over here. So you got out of bed and you climbed on Mommy's lap and started pushing buttons?
No, I did push buttons.
Did I push a button?
Yes, I pushed the wrong button.
I pushed the wrong button. Why did I push the wrong button?
Because you can't see the buttons.
I couldn't see the buttons because I had the light out, so you could maybe go back to sleep, right?
Yes.
And it didn't work, did it? Oh, no.
You did talk to Daddy about that?
I'm talking to Daddy about it right now.
Hi. Daddy, just say your name.
Oh.
What do you want to say, Molly? Say goodnight now, honey.
Goodnight.
Good night, sweetheart.
All right, so that's the long and the short, America, of why I had a couple of button glitches because my three-year-old next month decided to toddle downstairs and climb on my lap. So there you go.
Oh, God. Oh, let's just put on some Journey and Starship, and call it a night. You want to do that? Let's go back to that story about the gay bomb. That was a good story. The Defense Department inventing a weapon that releases hormones that will turn the enemy into homosexuals because, as the U.S. military knows, homosexuals would rather not fight. They would rather decorate their apartments or something. I oh, God. Robert writes in, "Hey, Mike, how many taxpayer millions were spent developing the gay bomb before they reminded themselves that homosexuality is a choice?" Right, Robert. Yeah. No, you don't expect any sense out of these right-wing bastards, do you? Oh, my God.
All right, let's try to salvage what's left of the program tonight and go back to your phone calls. Phil is calling from San Diego. Phil, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, thanks, Mike. That was neat listening to your daughter, man. At least she's not pressing the wrong button like these people that are touched in the head.
Yeah, that's very true. But you know what Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And I think what was meant by that was the innocence of children is what the Christian Messiah was talking about, the innocence, the unpolluted innocence of a kid. But anyway, that's not why you called.
Right on. Yeah, I was going to talk about something about the Sunni thing, but it got me to thinking about Mr., you know, Darth Vader in the White House. I guess that's his mantra, Sunni, Cheney. But
yeah.
Anyway, I realize now why these two, you know, dingbats don't show up at the ball games anymore. Do you remember Harry Carey?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
And the song?
Take me out to the ball game.
Change that to at. Take me out at. And I just also, part of the rest of that song is buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Well, they're nuts and they're crackers already. I don't care if I never get back. Oh, that tells it all right there, man.
What have you been smoking tonight?
The evil. Is it evil bee?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. You know, Harry Carey's son, Skip Carey, called the plays for the Atlanta Braves here in the buckle of the Bible Belt. So I'm real familiar with Skip. I've met him a couple of times. And when we lived in Chicago for 3 years, of course, Kathy and I had to tune in to the Cubs to listen to Harry Carey. I'm real familiar with him. But you also wanted to say something about arming the Sunnis, didn't you?
Well, yeah, to me it's just what you said. It's like everybody out there has to do the 202-224-5225. I mean, we got to just give it to those people that it's – I was just finished reading a book, Hubert Selby, Last Exit to Brooklyn. This book was written 50 years ago. He could write a sequel if he was still alive, Last Exit to America.
Yeah.
It's coming down to that. I mean, that's what's – people, we have to do it. I mean, our senators, our representatives, it's do or die. I mean, it's getting to that point because these people, they just don't care about anything, you know. It's it's just so
– So since you know this, and I know this, and a lot of people know this, what do you think Americans ought to do, Phil?
Well, you know, I was at a protest last week here in San Diego, and it was so weird because standing there were signs and, you know, people impeach Bush and everything, and kind of like I just saw the taste of what people have on their minds, because it was like a Friday night and people just passing by, you know, just going, oh, I love Bush, you know. To them it's just a sexual innuendo. They don't
people saying I love Bush.
Yeah, because to them it's just a joke, you know. I love Bush, you know, as if downstairs, they love downstairs. They don't care about what's in the White House, you know, you know what I'm getting at.
Oh, okay, so they were kidding.
Yeah, you know, it's like a big joke to them.
Oh,
they just can't get going with realizing that their country's going down the tubes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, to me, it's like last exit to America. They might as well have been on the last exit when they were driving, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I hear you. I don't know. This is madness.
I mean, I feel powerless because I don't have. I mean, I go to work, do my thing. You know, I got my dogs and my cat. They're my children. You know, to me, they're unconditional. God, dog is God spelled backwards. I mean, to me, it's all. That's for me, my spirituality. I mean, I just realize, you know, I just. You just got to stay aware of the situation. I'm not gonna. I'm with you in what your take is that if they're gonna come for me, I'm not gonna go without a fight. I'm not just gonna turn over and become a turtle. I mean, heck. Anyway, sorry to carry on. I mean,
no, I hear what you're saying, Phil, and I appreciate your call. I really do. Take care, man. I appreciate what you had to say. Tom is calling from Sacramento. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Well, okay, it was very nice to hear your daughter, since I've sort of, she's grown up with me and you.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, I mean, but there she is, like, doing her, you know, little thing, whatever, whether it was right or wrong. Well, I'm hoping that the Democrats can somehow get their act together and get somebody elected to be president, mm-hmm. because otherwise we're really in trouble. I don't really care who it is, but actually my point was that, and then what we need is to enact national service. Many other countries, most other countries in Western civilization have it. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to go in the military, but you need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And
I so agree with that idea. I'm so in favor of that idea.
It's just like, well, we're going to have to dig out of this hole that these guys have left us if we manage to get those Republican morons
right.
away.
Right.
So, you know, that's it. I mean, that's.
But you know what, Tom? Even without this horrific mess, these rat bastards are going to hand off to the next president. Even without that, I really do believe that mandatory public service on some. You know, you take your choice. You can, you know, have a list of 20, 30 different things that people can do. But I swear to God, I think every single American, every single citizen owes that to this country, 2 years of mandatory service. You don't get out of it. You just damn well go do it.
It's weird, but it's time we do it in this country.
I hear you. It's way past time.
You can do anything. You go work in the forest. You can go work in the city. You can go.
You can work with children who don't have parents. You can work
with. That's
right.
You can do all kinds of things.
All sorts of stuff. I'm just so in favor of it, Tom. And I think it's probably the only thing that might save.
No, it's the only thing that's going to dig us out of this.
Yeah, that's what I mean. To save the democratic process as you and I have come to know it, anyway. Tom, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal.
Bye.
I appreciate you checking in. You take care. We'll talk again. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seeker. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour. Credits. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight from KTHX in Phoenix, our flagship station. Also answered your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Billy Foster is a moderator at the NovaMRadio.com chat room, into which I did not have a chance to go this evening. Sorry. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Don't forget, tomorrow night, author and Hellraiser Greg Palast. On the program. Huh? Ah, you like that. All right. Quick email here from Les in New Hope, PA. I have his last name, the fact he's PhD, but I don't know if he wants me to give his last name. So, Mike, I read that they spent $7.5 million on the so-called gay bomb. I would have informed them for a fraction of the cost, say the purchase of one of my books, of the absurdity of that. I write psychology textbooks and read virtually all the relevant research literature on the topic of sexual orientation each time I write a new one. No one knows the exact combination of factors that determines one's sexual orientation. Drenching someone in hormones will do little more than waste hormones and demonstrate that the drencher is a religious fanatic and a scientific moron. Dr. Les in New Hope, PA. Yeah, thanks, Les. Every time I see a story like that where... never mind. No, it's too late in the program to even try to get into it. It's just absurd and insane. I've said before, if I were a black man or a gay man or especially those two groups, I would either at this point in my life be dead in prison or in an insane asylum, because I just would not have been able to handle this nonsense. All right, back to your phone calls very quickly. Tim is calling from Los Angeles. Tim, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Sure.
You made a comment earlier about it's okay that soldiers are losing their arms. It's okay that they're losing their legs.
Apparently is, because we don't do anything to stop it.
And also it's okay that our sister down in Orange County, Julie, is being attacked for having bumper stickers. But in my own opinion, it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you were asking about a solution. What can we do? And my solution is Box 4 of Liberty.
Well, I know that seems to be the only thing, the only option left. I'm just not there yet. I still believe in Box 2, the ballot box. I'm not ready for Box 4, the ammo box, because, you know, once you enter that phase... really, there's absolutely no turning back. I mean, you don't go into that phase, Tim, as you know, and say, oops, let me try something different. Once you go there, that's a commitment that doesn't stop until a decision is made, and you know what's involved in that.
Exactly, and that's why I'm listening to progressive shows like yours, for example, and when it's time... And when you say it's time, I'm ready.
Yeah, well, I won't be the one making that decision. Somebody else will be making that decision. But I swear to God, if the barricades go up in this country, if that happens, I know which side of the barricades I'll be on. I know that as well as I know my own name. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate
you. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate you checking in, man. Thanks a lot. Oh man, what do we start with? Then? We started with the Sopranos because of it was their last show after all these years. That's what it seems like after all these years of watching this family. And you know, as Tony Soprano being the sine qua non in the pantheon of anti-heroes. There he is, folks. You know, he can pinch off his cousin's nostrils and let him die in a car wreck. He can shoot Big Pussy to death on his boat. It's just astonishing. And yet, there we all were, you know, Tony Soprano fans. As far as the ending is concerned, I'll tell you what happens after the ending if you really want to know. Obviously, Tony is going to develop a serious cholesterol and diabetes problems. You know that. He's got an indictment coming, and he'll go on trial. His health problems are what's going to bring his career to an end. One of the recurring themes in that entire series was Tony chowing down. And I'm from an Italian family. That's a very Italian thing. When my mother used to get hysterical, which was like, maybe once or twice a day, she would go for the food. That's just what, a lot of Italians do that. We go for the food. It's been a real real struggle for me. That's the reason I swim a mile a day. If I don't swim, I look like Tony. But in the entire 9-year-long or 10-year-long period that the Sopranos was on, all the scenes. Think about all the scenes where, you know, they're eating that Italian cuisine, which Italian-American cuisine. I'm going to talk about Italian peasants. I'm talking about Italian-American cuisine is just absolutely almost 90% carbohydrates. It's just like work. You know, you eat that stuff and you're going to blow up like a balloon. So Tony's going to develop, you know, he's going to have clogged arteries. They're going to try to go in there and clean him out, and that's not going to work. They're going to have to do like a bypass. He's going to develop diabetes if he doesn't lose weight and get some exercise. What does he do for exercise, this guy? What does he do? Nothing. You know, whacking somebody is not exercise. You know, it might exercise your trigger finger, but that's it. So I'm concerned. I know that the Sopranos have passed into whatever the hell it is they pass into, but I refuse to believe that was fantasy. I know that was built on, that's a real story. That's really happening in northern New Jersey. Right now, Tony Soprano and Carmela, and maybe Meadow if she's home. I don't know where the boy is, but Tony and Carmela are listening to this program. I know they are. They're listening on the internet. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Carmela. I appreciate it. Take care. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.